The ninth parak brings four Mishnayos. The first four Mishnayos are building on the Mishnah and the end of the prior parak, where we saw that a pasuk was brought. It wasn't a total proof, but it was brought as evidence to prove a halacha. So what we're going to do in the next four Mishnayos is we're going to bring another seven scenarios that the Mishnayos are going to bring psukim that are not going to be the strongest of proofs, but it will start, try to lend support for the halachas that the Mishnayos are bringing. So Mishnah Aleph starts as follows. Amar Rabbi Akiva, minayin la'avodah zara shemitama b'masa kenida. Where do we learn that an avodah zara, that could be talking about an idol or an item that was worshipped, that it is metame b'masa. Masa is a type of transference of tuma that somebody carries an item but doesn't touch it. So in other words, what it's saying is that if you are carrying an avodah zarah, you're carrying an idol, you're carrying a worshipped item, and you carry it b'masa, even if you don't touch it, it's going to make you tame like a nida. If you were carrying a woman who's a nida, for example, on the top of a stretcher, that's b'masa. You're not touching her, but you're carrying her. So that is metame. So the Mishnah brings a kosuk, shenemar, to compare avodah zarah to a nida. Shenemar tizrem kemodavat se tomarlo. This is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, when Yeshayahu was talking about that Klal Yisrael in the world will reject avodah zarah in the time of Mashiach. Indeed, it compares, Tizrem, you indeed will cast away avodah zarah like a nida. Go out, say, tomorrow, go away from us, avodah zarah. So indeed, we see the parallel between nida and avodah zarah. So they are both mitama b'masa. Ma nida mitama b'masa, just like a nida is mitame when she is carried, even if not touched, off avodah zarah, mitama b'masa. Same thing with avodah zarah. Mishnah Beis, minayin the sfina shi Torah. Where do we learn that a sfina, a boat in the sea, is tahora, even if it comes into contact with items that could make it tame, it doesn't become tame, it maintains its tahor status. In Emar, we learn from a pasuk, derech aniya belev yam, the way of a boat, of a ship, is in the heart of the sea. And we learn from the parallel between the boat and the sea, just like the sea itself cannot become tame, so to a boat cannot become tame. Next, minayin la'aruga shishishal shishatvachim. This is actually a very complicated concept we're about to learn, but we'll keep it on a very high level. It's talking about kelaim, when you put different seeds together and plant them together, that there's an issur d'oraisa under certain circumstances, but there is a way, indeed, that you can plant a number of zraim, a number of seeds together in a certain structure, a vegetable garden patch, even if it's in close proximity, but if it's structured correctly, that it's not going to be a problem of kilayim, of planting different seeds together. So the Mishnah says, minayin laruga, where do we know that if you have a vegetable patch, shishishal shisha tvachim, that is 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim, so it's a square, 6 by 6 tvachim, shizorim betocha chamisha zeironim, that there is a pattern that we can plant within it 5 different seeds that indeed could be shatnez, but because we're structuring it properly, there won't be a kalayim here. Shatnez is a similar concept, or the same concept as kalayim mixtures. Arba, barba, rucha, taruga, vechabamsa. So how do we have to structure? We have 4 on the different sides, so 1 on each side of the garden patch, and you leave the corners empty. So where do we learn that you have 4? 1 on each side of the corners, and 1 of the 5th type in the middle. Shenemar, we learn it from a pasuk, ki ka'aretz totzit simcha, u'kigana zerutat atzmiach. So it's talking about various types of growth that will come out, it will grow, kigana, like a garden, zerusa, its seeds will sprout. So the Mishnah focuses on zara lo ne'emar. It doesn't say zara in this pasuk, it says ela zeru'echa. That's plural tense 2. So the drasha is as follows. Kikars, we're looking at all the words that talk about growth. Kikar totsi is the first growth. It will bring forth. Number 2 is tzimcha, will bring forth its growth. And the tzemach and tatzmiach, we'll look at the end, is at the 3rd. It's growing. But zeru'echa is plural tense. So now we have not only a 4th form of growth, but that is going to be lashon rabim because it's in plural tense, so it's going to be a 5th. So 5 different types of seeds in a structure that is 6 tzvachim by 6 tzvachim. Mishnah Gimel, minayin lepoletza shichva zera b'yom ha-shlishi shitmeh. Where do we learn that a woman who is discharging semen on the third day after having relations, that it is making her tameh? And we learn it from the pasuk that talks about matan torah shenemar hayu nechonim l'shloshes yamin, that you have to prepare yourselves 3 days in advance. What that means is you have to refrain from relations, a woman with her husband, for 3 days, because the Torah will be received on the fourth day. So 3 days, a woman could be tameh from expelling the semen, but on the fourth day she would be tahora, and then Klal Yisrael would receive the Torah. Another limud, Mishnah Gimel, continuing, minayin shemarchitzin et hamila b'yom ha-shlishi shechalias b'shabbos. Where do we know that when you have a baby that had a bris milah, that even on the third day thereafterward, there is still a situation of sakana, so you could wash with hot water? And the Mefarshim explained, and if you don't have hot water, because it's a situation of pikuach nefesh, you can even heat up hot water if you can't get it otherwise, even though it's Shabbos, and Amar, this is not halacha l'maisa nowadays. Shenemar, we bring it from Anshei Shechem, that it says that Shimon Levi and the brothers, they convinced them to have a bris milah, v'ahi b'yom ha-shlishi b'yosam kovim, it was on the third day, and they were in pain, the Anshei Shechem, and that's when Shimon and Levi attacked. So we see there that even the third day is a day of serious pain after a bris milah. Continuing, the third example, third drasha of a pasuk in this Mishnah, lo minayin shekoshrim lashon shel zachoris b'ros sayir ha-mishalech. This is talked about in Mishnayos in Yuma. From where do we know that you tie a strip of red wool on the head of the seer mishalech, that is the seer that is sent out to the desert on Yom Kippur when we had a base of Mikdash and was thrown off the cliff? So you attach a strip of red wool to its head. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, imu chataechem kashanim, if your sins will be like scarlet, kashel galbino, they will indeed become like snow. So once you put the seer mishalech, if we have a tshuva gemura, Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts our tshuva on Yom Kippur, then indeed that strip of red wool will turn into white. Mishnah Dalet, minayin l'sicha shikashtia b'yom ha-kippurim. Where do we know that sicha, anointing, is prohibited, just like drinking is prohibited on Yom Kippur? Afal b'shein raya l'davar zecha davar, even though we don't have an absolute proof for it, but at least we have some evidence to the matter, and that's the theme of all of these, is that we don't have exact proofs from all the psukim what we're bringing, but we do have a zecha l'davar, we do have some evidence from the psukim that we're bringing, shenemar, v'tavo kamayim b'kibo, and water will come to your innards, into his innards, v'shcha shemen, and like shemen, and like oil, b'atz masav, coming into his bones. So we see the parallel between water and shemen here. So because of that, we have a limud that sicha, anointing with oil, is prohibited on Yom Kippur, just like drinking. Mishnah Hey, we are getting back to all of our discussions of the minimum amounts of items that are carried in order to violate the Isra HaVotzah. So how much do you have to carry of each of the various items? So Hamotzi Eitzim, somebody who carries out pieces of wood, twigs, etc. for cooking, Kedei Levasha Beitza Kala, the amount that would be necessary to cook an easily cooked egg, you're talking about a chicken egg. Tvalim, if you carry out spices, Kedei Letaba Beitza Kala, also the amount of spices necessary to cook an easily cooked egg, it's talking about a chicken egg. And if you take out different types of spices, umitzarvim zeim ze, because they all have the same amount, the minimum amount, they would aggregate together. So if you have a little bit, a tiny bit of it, a bit of salt and a tiny bit of pepper, etc., and they're mitzarif together, you can add them together. They would be added together to make the minimum shear, that if you have enough, even of a combination of spices to cook that egg, that would be the issur d'orais of carrying. Klipe egozim, if you have nutshells, klipe rimonim, the peel of a pomegranate, isatis, upua, these are different types of items that are used to make dyes. So in all these cases, the nutshells, the peel of the pomegranate, and these other items to use to make dyes, how much of it would you be carrying out? Kedei litzboa bahen beged katan ditzvach, enough to make dyes that would color a beged katan. It's talking about a net-like cloth, part of isfacha. Isfacha is a headdress of a woman, and part of that headdress on her head covering was a beged katan. So if you would have enough dye, if those items that you carry could make enough dye to color that beged katan on the headdress of a woman, that would be an iser d'oraisa. Carrying out other items that would be used as cleaning agents, meiraglaim is urine, neser, uboris, kamuni, vashlam, various types of items that were used as detergents, kedei lechabes bahen beged katan besvacha. Here, the same item to in order to clean, in order to launder that small beged katan, that small net-like cloth that was on top, a part of the headdress of a woman. And continuing, Rabbi Yehuda has a lower, as even a smaller amount to be chayev, kedei lahavir ala kesem. If you carry out any of those items that we're using as a laundry, as a launderer detergent, as a detergent, it's if as long as you carry enough to remove a stain, that would be the Isser d'oraisa. Mishnah Vav is going to talk about various items that have no minimum amounts. Even if you carry out the smallest amount, you're going to be over the Isser. Otsa pil peles is a peppercorn used for bed breath. Kol shu, even the tiniest amount, you're going to be chayv otsa. V'itran, a certain item that we've seen also previously that would be used for curing headaches. Kol shu, even the smallest amount. Mine besamim meni matachot, amounts of spices, of perfumes, umine matachos, and small amounts and amounts of items of metal. And even the smallest amounts, because a small amount of perfume and a small amount of metal, they can be used, they have uses even in the smallest quantities. Ma'avne ha-mizbeach, if somebody carries out chips of stone from the mizbeach, u'me'afar ha-mizbeach, or dust from the mizbeach, from the altar, mekek svarim, or decays left from Sifrei Kodesh, from holy books, u'meket mitbachoseim, or the decay, the dust left over from the wraps that were used to wrap the Sifrei Kodesh, a Sefer Torah, for example, kosher, even the smallest amount. Why is the smallest amount considered something that's significant? Shematznin osan legauzan, because even the smallest amount you would have to put on the side, you have to treat it with respect, you would put it in geniza, you would put it and to be buried accordingly, even the smallest amounts, if you carried it, that would be the Isra of Otzah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lahavdil, and going in the other direction, Afa Motzi Mim Mesham She Avodas Kachabim, even if you carry out items that were used in Avodah Zarah, also kosher, it'd also be the smallest amount, is considered something that's significant, and you would be over the Isra Darais of carrying. And we learn it from the Pasuk that even the smallest amount of Avodah Zarah is significant. V'leidbak Biatcha Meuma Min Acherim, you should not keep anything of it from that which is a cherem, from what that which is banned. So in other words, you can't keep even the smallest amount of avodah zarah on you. That would be an isser. So too, that we see that's a significant. So too, for carrying out on Shabbos, even the smallest amount is considered significant. Mishnah Zayin Amotzi Kupas Harochlim, somebody who carries out a box of perfumes, Afa Pishyesh Baminim Harbe, even if there are a lot of samples, different types of perfume inside the box, you're only chayev one iser. In other words, that entire box, even though it has various perfumes in it, is considered one act of carrying, that one would be obligated for one korban chatas. Continuing, zeirone gina, if somebody carries out seeds, vegetable seeds that you're going to plant in the garden, pachot mikrogeres, the amount of seeds is a little bit less than a dried fig. So you combine them all together. If it's less, a little bit less than a dried fig, that would be the Isser. Reb Yehuda ben Maseir Omer, he's stricter. Chamish, even five seeds would be Isser. And then now we're going to talk about various types of seeds that were more significant. They had a higher value. They were more important. Accordingly, you're going to be chayiv, even if it's less than that small dried fig or the five seeds of Reb Yehuda ben Maseir. So Zera Kishuyin, if you have seeds to plant cucumbers, Shnaim, you're going to be chayiv if you carry two of those seeds. Zera Dluyim, the seeds to plant gourd, Shnaim, two seeds will be over the Yisra Daraisa. Zera Pol HaMitzri, Shnaim, if you have seeds to plant a Zera, the Zera of a Pol HaMitzri, Polomitri is a bean-like plant, it's going to be two. Chagav chai tahor, if you have a locust that is alive and it is kosher. Tahor means it's kosher. Kosher, even the smallest amount. The reason is because kids used to play with these live locusts. If they were kosher, their parents would let them play with it. If it wasn't kosher, you don't want your kids to play with it because they may come to eat it after it dies. So even the smallest one, because it has a use, it's something significant. If it is a live kosher one, you would be chayiv for carrying it on Shabbos. Maize, but once it dies, kid's not going to play with it. Kigrogeres, it would be the same amount of dried fig. It would be the amount like edible food because it's a kosher one. You could eat it. So only chayiv is when it's something significant. So that would be like edible food. The standard is the minimum amount, a dried fig quantity. See, poras kramim, if you have this species of locust, ben chaya, ben mesa, whether it is alive or dead, kolshi, if you carry this specific species of locust called the tziporas karamim, even the smallest amount kolshi, why shemetzlina so the refu, because they would save it, they would use it for refu, even in small amounts, it had value. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he's going back to what we talked about, that the chagav, this locust that was alive, if it was kosher, the Tanakhama says, you'd let your kids play with it, and accordingly, even the smallest amount, the smallest one, you'd be chai for carrying it. Rabbi Yudomer, afamotzi chakav chai tameh, even if it's not kosher, it's a locust, it's alive, even if it's not kosher, even the smallest amount, you'd be chai of. Why? Because a kid, we would save that for a kid to play with it. A kid doesn't need a kosher one to play with. Indeed, he can play with a non-kosher one. And we see the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakhama said only play with the kosher one. We don't want to play with the non-kosher one because he may come to eat it. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, we're not concerned he's going to eat it. If that unkosher chagav locust dies, that kid is going to be despondent and sad over it. He's going to be grieving over his loss, and he's not going to come to eat it. So we're not concerned, even if it's a non-kosher locust, it would be permitted. We would save it for a kid. He's allowed to play with it. And indeed, because of that, you would be chayev, even on the smallest one, when you carry it on a Shabbos, even if it's a non-kosher locust.